BJ Hollers, welcome.
Thank you so much, Julia.
You brought new light and insight to the Freedom Writers chapter of the 1961 Civil Rights Movements. Now, that's a very significant moment in history. Would you outline the cause in its context of desegregation for us?
Well, the Supreme Court passed two rulings that made it very clear that it was unconstitutional to have segregated seating on interstate buses and their facilities. The problem, though, was that local law enforcement didn't always make good on those constitutional rulings.
And so something had to be done.
Something had to be done, and the Congress of Racial Equality took it upon themselves to plan a bus ride to test these enforcement policies.
So what drove you to revisit the cause and especially to meet the writers themselves?
Well, a couple of things. The first was my students. I think there's this sense, especially from young people, you know, college-age students who, when things aren't going their way politically or in some other capacity, they think they're sort of helpless to do anything about it. And I really wanted to empower them and say, no, I mean, throughout the civil rights movement, young people just like yourselves were the ones on the front lines. And I think the Freedom Riders are a great example of that.
You are teaching at the University of Wisconsin, and so this is, of course, many years later, and it's many worlds away, we might say, but the same kind of impact hits these kids when they hear stories like this, it sounds like.
I think so, yeah. I'm at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, and so it's a predominantly white student body, and a lot of times folks, maybe in the North generally, but certainly in places like Indiana and Wisconsin, they think, oh, civil rights must have been tough in the South, you know, and it's always really interesting when I give readings in the North. People always want to know, well, what's it like in the South where racism exists? And I always try to make clear the South doesn't have a monopoly on racism. You know, we've got our own problems right here as well, worth addressing.
In that line, what kind of research and preparation did this whole revisitation require?
Oh, a lot. What I try to bring to the story is just a new take, a new and personal take. So while many historians have written the story of the Freedom Riders from a historical perspective, I wanted to try to bring these stories back to life. I was less interested in what happened on this particular day and time, but more about what was in the hearts of these people when they were boarding these buses, knowing they were risking their lives in the process.
And this really does make history come alive. I think that, of course, theoretically, it's going to do so. Is that what it did to you as you were planning this?
Absolutely. I mean, there was a moment where I was visiting a lot of Freedom Riders in the Greyhound station where they were beaten 55 years ago to the day. And we're all there and the museum's closing down for the day. And I'm sticking around with the Freedom Riders and suddenly they break into these freedom songs and they kind of like push me into their circle and we're all singing these freedom songs. And there are a few moments in my life when I felt electricity like that.
Now, your actual plan even involved, of course, your class and a busload of these college kids. Was that all the psychological part of it, to be on the bus retracing the path that way?
Absolutely. The Civil Rights Pilgrimage, as it's called at our university, happens twice a year. I was sort of just a writer myself. I didn't organize it or anything. I just kind of took my seat alongside 100 students, and it was one heck of a way to spend spring break, let me tell you. But we really got to be close to one another and to have these late night conversations in the hotels of what we saw and experienced. And learning what it meant to them was really enlightening throughout the writing of this book.
Speaking of writing the book, did you know from the start that you wanted to write about this whole experience?
I knew Freedom Rides was at the core of it all. An interesting thing happened in that I was having a dinner one evening in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and a gentleman asked if I knew a guy named Jim Zwerg, you know, the Freedom Rider. And then I come to find that a guy named Jim Zwerg was an associate pastor at the church I actually attend in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, who happened also to be seatmates with current Congressman John Lewis, you know, and yet the fact that we had roamed the same town 40 years apart had never even been made public. He kept this very private. And so when I learned that there was a local connection to a major Freedom Rider, that was the moment I knew I needed to pursue this fully.